consider with me today more of our LCOS artwork, artwork that's finally about his work, God's work. See the three panels depicting the holy sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the ancient symbol signifying Christ. These artistic panels were crafted by the artist Geza St. Gali. Incidentally, LCOS has some 6 pieces of artwork that bear the name of this artist. St. Gali, a known artist of the mid to latter 20th century, was born in Transylvania in 1908. In 1954, St. Gali relocated to the United States, and he established an art studio and or gallery in Carmel by the Sea, California. It's said that most of St. Gali's works depict either religious subjects or those of nature. St. Gali died in 2003. The artwork for today's devotional consideration depicts the blessed sacraments that Christ has instituted for the life, sustenance, and well-being of his precious church. The sacraments are always vital for the church, now as much as ever. These last months of mandatory lockdown to one degree or another have presented an obstacle to our receiving one of them, Holy Communion. The last months have even perhaps challenged our own felt urgency for the need for Holy Communion. Let's firstly consider the sacraments, these signs and testimonies of God's will toward us, as we confess of them in the Augsburg Confession. In the panel on the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, we see depicted the hand of an individual pouring baptismal water from a shell. Let's take the figures of the painting one by one. Water is an essential element in this sacrament. Our Lord included in this sacrament meant for all men, women, and children of all places the most common element on earth, water. Of course, we know that the water of baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word, so says our small catechism. The simple instruction or command and word of God is this: Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our beloved little catechism also reminds us of the high and glorious benefits of this washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit. Baptism works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. You want proof? The Apostle Peter said to hearers on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." That's Acts 2. Do you see how Peter connected the forgiveness of sins to repentance and being baptized? Ananias, a first-century disciple of Jesus Christ, understood the same. In Acts 22, he's recorded by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit as directing Saul, Paul, to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his, Christ's, name. Again, that's Acts 22. Paul himself would teach us that baptism works the forgiveness of sins, writing, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." Ephesians 5. It's Peter who writes baptism, which corresponds to this, this being Noah and family being saved by water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. 1 Peter 3. St. Peter adds in his Pentecost sermon that with baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given. Baptism is not a mere static symbol, but a dynamic action undertaken by God himself. That brings into focus the hand in the painting. Whose hand is it? The pastor's hand? The Lord's hand? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus Christ is the Savior. By Jesus' authority, you who have been baptized are baptized, even though through the hands of mere human beings, whether those hands belong to a pastor under normal circumstances or a parent or Christian friend under extraordinary circumstances. The baptismal shell is a long-used instrument employed to pour the baptismal water onto the one being baptized. And pouring the baptismal water is just as biblical as baptism by immersion, or full submersion under or in the water. Don't doubt that. Just as the water of baptism is not simply plain water, so the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, depicted by the wheat and the wheat stalks and grapes in the second panel, they bear far more than what you see. In words plain as day, our Lord Jesus said of the bread he'd taken in hand, "This is my body," Matthew 26. And of the wine in the cup that he'd taken after supper, Jesus said, "This is my blood," Matthew 26. Now, I don't know how he does it, but by his plain words I know that he does it. And over against every vapid and anemic profession of this blessed supper, we hold and boldly confess that with the bread is also Jesus' body, and with the wine is also Jesus' blood. To what end? For the one who receives the Holy Supper in faith, it's unto the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, to borrow some words from Luther as he put it in the Small Catechism. How far would you travel for that? Forgiveness, life, and salvation. By the sacrament of the altar, Jesus strengthens us in faith toward God. How we need that, especially now. By the sacrament of the altar, Jesus also strengthens us in love for one another, and how we need that too, especially now. The letters on the chalice or common cup, which historically has been the customary vessel for receiving the blood of our Lord. Those letters on the chalice depict the first three letters in the name Jesus, rather according to its Greek spelling. It's a fitting inscription for the chalice, for within it, by his blood, Jesus, meaning Yahweh is salvation, Jesus is what you will find as you receive the gift, the meal, in faith. Speaking of Greek letters, the final painted panel contains a few of them. While it may not be immediately apparent, this panel depicts Christ. Let's begin with the image, rather sea green in color, in the center. The image is actually two Greek letters, a chi and a rho. The Greek letter chi looks almost exactly like an English letter X, and the rho looks very much like the English letter P. Chi makes a hard CH sound. Rho makes the R sound. These are the first two letters in the Greek spelling of the word Christ. Chi, rho, Christ. For centuries, the superimposition of the chi over the rho has stood for Christ. The other letters, less prominent and red in color, also can be understood to signify the divinity and therefore the eternality of Jesus Christ. The letter on the left is the uppercase version of the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Alpha. The letter on the right is the uppercase version of the last letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega. In the book of Revelation, the one who sits on the throne says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," Revelation 21. The church is built upon the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the church lives by the gospel through the means of grace, the word, of which Christ is the center, you could say, and the sacraments. It's fitting, therefore, that these three panels grace our narthex, through which, customarily, we come to receive his grace, and then we go to live our lives in faith toward him and in love toward others. Scripture quotations in this devotion are from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved.